Invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, take a look at the ministers of our Lord. And hear Paul writing to Brother Timothy. Seemingly, our brother's a pastor at Ephesus. That seems to be, I think we have indication of that. May not be the case, but it seems like it is. And we'll see some of that as this book is closed out in chapter 4. We left off last time here about the Apostle Paul. He spoke about his doctrine, his manner of life and faith and such as that in verse number 10. He said, you've known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions. Nine distinctives of the man of God, nine distinctives of the people of God. We took a look about last time in the book of Acts about where the brother refers that these things, refers to that Brother Timothy knows of these things in the Antioch and Pisidia region and Iconium, Lystra and such. That's where Timothy grew up. And in verse number 12, if you'll live godly in Christ Jesus, there's going to be persecution. It's just going to be that way. And the thing is the persecution most likely will come from the direction that will be the most hurtful. And those that are near to us and those maybe even of our families. I think Brother Doug mentioned, you know, when the Jews have those of their own that, and they're not the only ones that do this, but when they have those go to something like the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know it and such as that, to many of those people, their family members are dead to them. And we understand historically and manner of practice that some even have funerals. And to think of a child going to the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and their parents not receiving it, not understanding it, and would declare that their child alive, but because of the direction that they've gone, being dead to them. I mean, that's a grievous thing, isn't it? That's a grievous thing. And so we are, as the Lord's people, called to live a holy life and a godly life, to live like our Lord in Christ Jesus, and persecution will come. Verse 13, he's back on these that he's described in this chapter, these that have a form of godliness and the sort that lead creep into houses and such. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Some years ago, I heard from a man in a Baptist church that said that he believed that the same amount of evil always has been, and it just wasn't heard about as much. Well, the thing is here, this passage tells us that they're going to get worse and worse. It's going to get worse and worse. It's going to be more widespread. We have that example of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have that example of the flood in Noah's day that it had come down, that there were very few that followed after the way of the Lord and that were righteous. And so there have been these cycles, and in the end, it will be that way too. We think about the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ and that it will make a great impact on the world. And I think that's good to desire that, but it could well be that many of the saints of the Lord could take on home by death, and there'd be very few that remain. So the impact of the rapture on the world is nil. It could be that way. It could be that way. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We see this here in verse number 6. For of this sort, they're described up here in these earlier verses, lovers of their own selves, verse number 2, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means they have no self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Be a witness to them, but don't be a partaker of their deeds. Don't be ill affected by them. For of this sort, here's the way that they go. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust or desires, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He said, evil men and seducers like this are going to wax worse and worse. They lead away the silly or the not sober, the not wise in the admonition of the Lord. They look to invent evil things, and they cater to those that have a desire for evil things, and the thing is just nigh unto reprobate. And we saw that in other passages over in Romans and such as that. He says here, in verse number 8, in the latter part, reprobate concerning the faith. Don't want any knowledge of God in their hearts and their minds. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers, those that seduce, shall wax worse and worse. Evil men will wax worse and worse. They will be deceiving, and they will be deceived themselves. Talking to somebody here recently about how the scripture says that in the latter days that there'll be a strong delusion sent by the Lord that the people at hand will believe a lie. And in talking to this individual, it was brought to my attention. I've thought about that in a more focused way, that there would just be a lie, okay, or the lie. But the thing is, you take a look at our day. Again, this individual I was talking to this about, they brought up that the strong delusion sent by the Lord to where they would believe a lie. Look at all the lies that are being believed in our day. See, in every kind of facet regarding the earth and the stewardship that we have, regarding human gender and sexuality, regarding, you know, do you realize that we live in a day that even at the government, at our government level, that people believe that what they think they can cause to be a reality? Right? Isn't that the way that it's being operated? They think that it should be this way. Therefore, they operate just like it would be that way when all of physics and all the way it works with mankind and all that works totally the opposite way. I think solar power is neat. I think it's a neat technology from the standpoint of technology, but it is not economically viable. Okay. Now there are some cases where solar power and that technology is usable, but to say that carte blanche across the board it is viable, when there have been those in recent times that have said that it is and would be, and they thought that they would bring it to pass, it's not. Just the finances and the physics and the way that it is, as an example, this is just one example, they believed it to be a truth, and they wish to make it a truth, but it's not the truth. So then you come to God and that of salvation and that of mankind. I just ran across an article yesterday talking about wickedness and immorality in the world, and they honed in on this particular sector, and that is very prominent in our day and in technology realm and such. And it's interesting, the points that were brought out by the person that wrote this article is that the evolutionists and I don't know if you would call them humanist or not, but they've just brought down that of mankind being just so much like everything else that there's no more value to you as a person than there is to that pew. And there's no more value to you. You hold no more value. You're just a hunk of flesh put together the way that you are. There's no difference between you and that tree. The tree outside over here on the bank. It's just like everything is just all part of the system, And whatever you do is up to you. Have at it, because there is no accountability. You are nothing special. And we know, I mean, we've seen that from the standpoint of our country. And I know I'm kind of meandering in thought here, but we've seen that from the standpoint of our country, that there are those that want to say that there's no special blessing or no specialness about the United States of America. But there has been the blessing of God. We're not special because of us. We're special because of the good blessings of the Lord upon us. But there are those that want to say, no, there's nothing different about the United States of America than there is with any other nation. Now, we can't force ourselves on the world. And there is a responsibility, a whole debate there about the responsibility of a nation that has wherewithal and a nation that does not. We are, as men, no more valuable than any other man or woman in the world. But by the blessing of God, there has been a difference with our nation. But there are those who want to say, no, there's no difference. There's nothing. Everything's just all just the plain old the same. And that just permeates into the thinking and everything, where men and women just run around like animals. Or worse. Evil men and seducers in these things shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And because men will not want to hold even the thought of God in their hearts and their minds and before their faces, there will come a time that the Lord will send, and has already, it seems, sent strong delusion, that even lies that stand against physics and the natural, normal course of life in the world and the design of God, they believe those things that are just contrary to what they have right in front of their face. That's how bad it is. Parents, grandparents, teach your children what is right, because what's at stake is their entire life. They are accountable before God, and we have that opportunity to teach them that while they're with us. Verse 14, the brother brings the focus back on Brother Timothy. But all those things are there, Timothy. There needs to be sober understanding about them. You need to know what's really going on. The Lord doesn't hide it from us. He tells us what's really at hand, as ugly as it is. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You keep on keeping on in those things, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who is that? Who is that? Thank God for parents that want to teach you the truth. Thank God for a Sunday school teacher that wants to teach you the truth. Thank God for a teacher in the church or a pastor that wants to teach the truth of God's good word. Thank God for them. You know why you thank God for them? Because it's God's work to teach you and I the truth. And so he says, remember, he says, I've been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. It's been the Lord that has taught us, and he's used means. And those that have, the Lord has used to teach us things out of the scripture, and the Lord, that the Lord teaches us directly and uses means of others around about us to teach us, from our parents on, they are special to us. But if there's anything good that's come out of it, it's been because of our Lord. Our Lord has done that for us. He causes him to rehearse, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The scriptures can make a person wise unto salvation. It's the good word of God that tells sinners how they need to be saved, how they can be saved. You've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what the scriptures point to, is our Lord Jesus. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but by our Lord Jesus and his blood and his gospel and his faithfulness applied to us. We believe through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We believe and trust in him to rescue the sinner. Here we are again. You know, the answer is always the same. The answer is always the same for the child of God. He and the apostle, as he's dealing with Timothy, he's been dealing with him and talking to him about this very thing, reassuring this once again. Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed. It's breathed by God. The scripture, as the Holy Spirit of the Lord moved upon different men, the Holy Spirit of God breathed in them. This word inspiration is speaking about that. Breathed within them. And when they spoke, when they wrote, they were used of God as an instrument to pen down his good word. It's the Lord that's been behind this. Holy men of God, as Brother Peter says in his epistles, all of it is given by inspiration of God. That means all of it is from God, and you and I do well to hear it and believe it and trust him in it. Not gainsay, not doubt about it, not say that this doesn't apply or this is too hard or this isn't apropos today. But understand, it all comes from God, and none of it is a suggestion. It's all a command. It's all the way that we saw Brother or Saul fighting against, if there were any of those after that way of following the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, doctrine. You say it over and over again, a church so-called that says that they have no doctrine means that they're abounding and wallowing and swimming in ignorance. When is ignorance good? Ignorance is never good. Not knowing is not good. There needs to be doctrine. There needs to be teaching, and not from ourselves and not from man's philosophy, but from God. And we get that from the scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, is profitable for reproof. For reproof, for warning. Look out. Don't go that way. That way over there, that way is the way that's not of the Lord. It's the way of sin. It's the way of destruction. Don't go that way. That's what the scripture does for us. Don't go the way that Solomon went. Right? That those accounts warn. Don't go the way that the children of Israel went. I was thinking about this past week. And we've kind of, we've lost the use of the word. We've lost the use of the word. It's a scriptural Bible word. When a parent tells a child, this is the way that it is. If you're a youngster, if you're living in somebody else's home, listen, okay? And that's well for all of us because we as older can do it too against our Lord. When a parent says, this is the way that it is, go do this, don't do that, or a child asks for something and the parent says, maybe at that time, something contradictory to what the child wants, then that's the end of the matter. Because the parent is the leader and the authority. When the child then begins to beg, begins to want to know why, begins to keep on leaning and pressing for what they want, our Lord called it in the days of Israel, murmuring. Maybe it's low, maybe it's a direct engagement with the parent, challenging what the parent has said. But the thing is what the Lord says goes, and what parents say is to go. And we are not to be murmurers. Not to be murmurers. Sometimes, folks, you know it, sometimes the Lord puts on our hearts to do something, and we don't want to do it. And we'll murmur about it. Maybe we'll murmur to ourselves. Maybe we'll murmur to others. Reproof. The Word of God says, don't, by the example of the children of Israel, don't be a murmurer against God and His truth and His Word. What He says stands. The Word of God is, the Scripture is profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction, for rebuke. When you and I are found right there in the midst of mess upville, we sinned against the Lord. We did the wrong thing. Now we're paying for it. We got the fruits of our sin and our disobedience against the Lord. And the Word of God says, you shouldn't have gone there. I warned you. I told you you shouldn't. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. I tell you what, that's the best. Understand that by the children of Israel going over here and the way they did, and they lost sight of the promises of God and they built themselves a calf. That's instruction in righteousness. Don't you go there. Don't build up an idol. Now, I don't think there's much danger of any of us making a molten calf, but I tell you what, we can have some idols. And the biggest problem that we have is ourselves and our children in our day. I mean, that's just the facts. It's just the way that it is. And they can be there between us and the Lord. That anything that's between us and the Lord is an idol. Instruction in righteousness is the best. The Lord says, don't be a murmurer. Don't be a complainer about the directive from the one that knows the best. Don't chide against the authority and the leadership in your life. I mean, this goes for all of us, not just the children, for all of us. Instruction in righteousness, what the Lord gives us in our lives and what the Lord gives us in the church and how we're to operate. What our goal is, what our purpose is. I tell you what, that's the best. But the Lord knows who He's dealing with, and so there's reproof that it's at hand, and even there's rebuke. All Scripture is profitable for these things, Timothy. It's given by inspiration of God, it's right out of God's mouth, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means mature. Grow up. Grown up in the Lord. Throughly furnished. Interesting word. Throughly furnished unto all good works. You remember this reference about furnished earlier in the book. We come over here to chapter 2, and let's read from verse number 19 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, sin, disobedience. Depart from iniquity and hold to that which is obedient. But in a great house, understand this, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You know, in a house, there's furnishings, isn't there? There's furnishings in a house. Listen to what he says. Remember this. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what's that? These cankerous words, these fables, all those things, we'll touch on those, review those here in a moment. He said, if you'll purge yourself from these, this way of the flesh, vain babblings, a cankerous word, a disobedient word, a way of the flesh, way of Satan, way of the world. If you purge yourself from these, he shall be a vessel to honor, an honorable furnishing, sanctified or set apart and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Verse 17 of chapter 3, the word of God gives us all that we need that we may grow up in our Lord and be thoroughly furnished ourselves to know how to do and pursue good works. Good works. Good works for our Lord. Because he's touched us and he's worked in us. I want us to be reminded by something here. And in regards to this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Take a look here quickly, just a couple pages over in Hebrews chapter 1. And this book is to the Jews in its direct context, but there's so much of a blessing in here for we that are saved. And it's good. I mean, it's the greatest commentary there is on the Old Testament. What the Lord gave Israel. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry time and in divers different ways, manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, that he inspired them, he breathed through them, and his word was brought forth to Israel, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You hear that? Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. There's something there. God is God, and beside him there's none other. And yet our Lord is three persons. And we just receive that. We accept that. But the picture that we see, there's a picture that we can see about the inspiration of God of the Old Testament scriptures, is that it's God. It's the Almighty. It's, if you will, maybe even God the Father at work in giving those scriptures. And God is God, and there's no parsing him out. But he is three persons, as he tells us in the scripture. But I tell you what, when Jesus Christ landed on this earth, became a man and was born of a virgin as was prophesied, and then had his ministry and built his church, there is a sense that the word that we have in the New Testament is even a more straight line to the Savior, if you will. Understand, this is not an agent in the New Testament scriptures speaking to us and what God's thinking and what. This is the Son speaking to you and me, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, all of this New Testament, all of this New Testament from Matthew to Revelation is the revealing and the purpose and the direct work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not to take anything away from what the Lord did from the beginning and in Old Testament times, like it tells us in Colossians chapter 1. I mean, he created things. And he's holding all things together. But you hear that? In these last times, God has spoken to us through his Son. And so may the Lord help us that we remember that, and that we hear him and believe him, and that we might be furnished to and to all good works. To take a stand for what the Lord gives us to obey him in. If you and I cave and follow the way of the world and the way of the flesh, our Lord in that has not been represented. One might say, well, Brother Jim, I just don't have authority to make a change. It's not my decision to make a change. But have you took a stand? Have you and I taken a stand? Have you and I taken a position that it's known that I will be no party to wickedness? None. Won't have my help. Won't have any of my energy behind it. We need to make a stand for our sake of our Lord. Chapter 4, he goes, as the thought is continued, I charge thee therefore, because of this thing that I've told you, this about the Holy Scriptures and the Word. Here's the way it is regarding the Word, Brother Timothy, and said, now I'm charging you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Is Paul threatening Timothy with the judgment? No, he's just reminding him of it. He's reminding him of it, that he will be judged as a child, as a church member, as a minister and a pastor. He says, I'm charging you, Timothy, you're going to be judged just like the rest. I charge you before the God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, preach that same word. Preach it. Preach it. Declare it. Tell it over and over again. Not with your own authority, but with the authority of God, because it's God's word. It's what God says. It's not Jim Duke's opinion, although I want to line up with it and believe it and look to take it and apply it to my life. But I tell you what, it's what God has said. He says, preach that word. Preach it. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Have it in you. Have that good word in you. The Lord told the disciples before his crucifixion, he told them, he said, don't premeditate what you're going to say when the authorities come and gather you up and going to quiz you and interrogate you about what you're doing. He said, don't premeditate about what to say. He said, when it comes time, I'll give you what to say. The thing is if you and I don't have the Word of God in us, you think about Brother Stephen's message that we just touched on that chapter there, chapter 7 of Acts. Brother Stephen had to know something about the Word of God in the Old Testament scriptures to be able to rehearse that history to his brethren, didn't he? To the Jews. He had to have learned and received the teaching in that New Testament time from the Lord Jesus and from the apostles. Seemingly he was there amongst that group that was there in the following of the Lord Jesus, or was saved very near that. Maybe some of the thousands that were saved. But he had to have the Word of God in him, so then at that time he could preach that message and give that answer. But the thing is, if you and I don't have the Word of God in us, there is that truth in that sense. What's God got to work with? What does the Lord have for us to recall? Because the Lord does work in a very practical manner. He's not going to take the book of whatever and jam it in our hearts that we just miraculously know it at a time that we'll know it. Because there is no more prophesying in that sense. He says, preach it. Be instant. In season, out of season, when it's popular, when it's not popular, give what God says. Reprove. Here it is again. We see just a review of verse 16 of the previous chapter. Reprove. Warn as they're going the wrong way. Rebuke when they're in the midst of the way. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine to follow the Lord. We've seen that about the minister of God, that he needs to be longsuffering. Not everybody gets everything all at the same time and as quickly as others, or maybe for a long, long time. But keep on. Exhort, preach the word, be instant, ready with the word of God and an answer. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. And again, doctrine, teaching of the Lord, the good word of God. For the time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I tell you what, that's a sad statement, isn't it? It's a sad statement. And we've known of organizations, we've known of churches that in decades and centuries past were known to be good, solid churches, but have fallen away from things, have let things down. Have let them go. What used to mean something does not mean something anymore. The Lord's not changed. The time will come when they will not endure, just will not put up with it. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is not what is desired. But all these things that the brother's been talking about through these epistles, those are the things that they want. Let's read. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, their own desires, the way that they want it, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. A teacher, a preacher, a pastor that wants to hear and give out not what God says, but what the people want to hear. What the people want to hear. All kinds of different formats in religion and worship today, isn't there? And you know what? They all come from design of taking and dealing with people in their natural carnal state. If you're dealing with people that want to go to concerts and you're trying to get them in, then maybe you've got to have a concert atmosphere. Or maybe there are those that were looking for philosophy, so then you have to have a philosophy-based kind of atmosphere. Don't want the simple truth of God's Word, although that's what they need. Remember how it was mentioned here that about the minister of the Lord, that he needs to be in chapter 2, in verse number 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, self-control, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Waiting. Waiting from the human standpoint, waiting on them that their eyes would be open, that they can hear and see, and waiting on the Lord to work. Because it's the Lord's work indeed. Preach that word, be instant. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, their own desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What do you want to hear? What do you want to hear? That's what I'll tell you. And shall turn away their ears from the truth of God and shall be turned unto fables. 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 You have any fables in your life? I tell you what, take the fables and pitch them out. Get rid of the fables. And bring on and hold to and cleave to the truth of the Lord. Let's do a quick review here about this and we'll close. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, or chapter 1, verse number 4, I'm sorry. The brother, when he preaches, when he writes these epistles and preaches to Brother Timothy and to us, he right off the bat, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. Verse number 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Refuse that old mess. Old wives' fables and the profane fables, and exercise thyself rather to godliness. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, unprofitable words that do nothing but subvert the hearers. Let's read it. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. That's what these words that to no profit do. Verse number 16 of the second chapter. But shun profane and vain babblings, empty babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. He says, preach it, Timothy, and preach it steady and constantly and continuously. In 2 Thessalonians, we see something here that the apostle warns this church about. 2 Thessalonians. Verse number 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letters from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. A falling away. In verse number 4 of 2 Timothy 4, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, a falling away. This isn't the world. These are those that are there amongst the churches, the people. They claim Christ and say that the Lord has saved them and that are have looked to be part of one of the Lord's churches. They said, I don't want that anymore. I don't want that. I don't need that. But are turned unto fables. May our Lord help us. May our Lord help us. As the brother finishes out the chapter, we'll take a look at this next time. He directs him again into some things that he needs to pursue and to do. And then the apostle speaks about himself and then gives a rundown of these different ones, different brethren, and how it stands with them. If you and I were written about in the scriptures, what would the Lord write about us? We're not going to be written about in the scriptures, in the Bible, but there is an account of our lives, and the Lord knows it, and nothing he lets slip. And may our Lord help us that we hear him and believe him and trust him in his word in every way. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in him for the salvation of your soul. He's the one that you need.